Let's go to Proverbs 20 and 6. I'll read you one verse of scripture, and we'll let you be seated, and I want to play a song. It says in Proverbs 20 and 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Most men will do whatever is in their best interest. But a faithful man, he asks the question, who can find? Who can find anybody that would do things not for their own goodness and not for their own consumption? Amen. I'm going to give you my title before you're seated. It's Understanding What Is in Your Best Interest. Understanding what is in your best interest. God bless you. You may be seated. I want them to play this song. I just feel like somebody needs to hear it. I've only listened to it 5 or 6 times this morning. Whenever you kind of get to feeling like things aren't going right, you can get this song. We'll find it for you. And it's about 6 minutes, so be patient. Is that the way you feel this morning? He is a good God. This goes along with what I want to teach this morning. My goal on Sunday mornings and Tuesday nights is to make you a better Christian and to lead you by example. It would not be right, it would not be fair for me to preach what I don't practice. And so rather than preach what I practice what I preach. It goes both ways. But I call for you to be a better Christian this week than you were last week. A better Christian tomorrow. A better Christian today than you were earlier today. It all starts with how you think. It all starts with your attitude toward things. Sometimes it's not a lack of understanding, it's a lack of a proper perspective. And so this morning I want to talk to you about understanding really what is in your best interest. Most men of this world proclaim to do things for other people, but when in reality they're selfish in what they do, and they do it really to consume it upon their own lust. Many times people help other people in an effort to get them to help them back. But I want to talk to you about how this should work in the kingdom of God and not in the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom, which we were all part of, it's survival, right? It's like I've got dogs and I feed them and they can get along good. Do you throw a bone out there? If one finishes the food before the other one, it'll root the other one out and he'll go get their food. It's always in my best interest in a carnal way. But a faithful man, he says, who can find someone that is faithful every time in the way he treats somebody else? A faithful man will sacrifice what appears to be in his own best interest and do what is in someone else's best interest, because he understands, listen close, when I do what is in your best interest, I have done what is in my best interest. When I do what's in your best interest, I have done what is in my best interest. In the kingdom of God. It's all a mindset. It's interesting to me. Interest is an interesting thing. Interest. I've preached a long time. I've taught a long time. And I can tell you a fact. I can talk about something that people are not interested in, and they can doze off, and they can be baking cakes and playing golf. But when I talk about something they're interested in, if I talk about goat roping and you're a rodeo guy, all of a sudden, I got your attention. Because I'm talking about something you're interested in. I have sparked your interest. And many times it's not what is said, it's how it's said that sparks people's interest. But the truth is, when you're really interested in something, it doesn't matter how it's said, it's what is said. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. No matter how you say it, it's still the word of the Lord. But unfortunately, church has become many times like a business where we got to keep your interest up. Got to keep your interest up to keep you coming and keep you interested in coming to church. And many times I teach with props, and I bring props in here to help aid me with teaching, but it also promotes interest, to try to give you a visual of what I'm trying to do. Interest is what draws your attention, maybe away from something else, to focus on what is being said. I've got to captivate your interest. But I've learned this morning, I can't do it alone. I cannot captivate your interest if you're not interested in the Word of God. Let me tell you what'll get your interest. Uncle Boo, he's got 40 acres. Your Uncle Boo, you know, your Uncle Boo. He's got 40 acres, and you never were interested in his 40 acres at all until he died. And he said, I left you a half interest in my 40 acres. Then all of a sudden, I like Uncle Boo. That was my favorite uncle. Now, which part is mine? And now all of a sudden, you have an interest in something you had no interest in because now he gave you an interest in it. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that Christ has left us an inheritance? He has left us an estate? And why will you act not interested in what God has for you? I am interested in heaven. I'm interested in what heaven has to offer. I'm interested in what Christ gave me. It's mine. It's rightfully mine. But I wasn't interested in it until it became mine. When I received the Lord as my Savior and as the Christ of my life, he said, whatever I have, you have. I go to my Father's house. I go above, and where I am, there you shall be also. I go to prepare a mansion that where I am, I want my mansion. I know it's not going to be a literal mansion, but at the same time, whatever it is, it's mine. I'm interested in it. So tell me more. I don't care if you shout when you do it or you talk low when you do it. It does not matter because I'm not interested in the presentation. I'm interested in the content. Woo, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Amen. I'm interested in everything that Christ left behind. The two words I'm most interested in him saying is, well done. Well done. Now let me tell you something. There's three things. There's doing, did, and done. Doing, did, and done. When you get to heaven, he just says, how are you doing? He's not going to say, how are you doing? He either says, depart, or well done. Now, this begs the question, what are you doing? Good morning. What are you doing? You ever told your kids that? What are you doing? We as Christians many times get into the thinking, we're going to hear well done because I have no sin. Look at David's life. It was full of sin. But I'll assure you, David heard, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Why? It wasn't really about the sin. It was about what he was doing. He said, after I have my own proper good, he said, I'm going to build a house for the Lord. I got to be up and about his business. As Christ said one day at 12 years old, I must be doing something about his business. So listen this morning. If you want him, hear him say, well done, you must be doing something. Not just saying, well, Lord, here's that talent you gave me and I give it back to you. I didn't sin. No, you didn't do nothing with it. I'm not angry this morning. I just want you to do something. Do something so he can say, well done. And when you do it, don't say, I'll give it a shot. No, he said, whatsoever you find to do, do it with all your might. That's what I liked about David. When he sinned with all of his might. Yes, he did. But when he got it right, he danced with all of his might. He sang with all of his might. He wrote with all of his might. So it's really not about, because there is forgiveness for sin. There's not forgiveness for what you don't do. Did you understand that? The parable of the talents, the guy that did nothing got no forgiveness. He was not forgiven. He didn't do anything. He cast him into outer darkness. If he had sinned, he could have said, well, Lord, I sinned and I repented back then. Okay, enter in. No, he didn't do anything. So don't think you'll escape because you're not sinning. You must be doing something. The Bible says when he comes back, he's looking for laborers.
laborers, people that's got the sickle and casting it in and witnessing and trying to win, trying to teach a Bible study, trying to promote the gospel, praying. Say, well, I can't do nothing but pray. Lord, that's the most important thing you could do is pray. That's doing something. Lord, I got more information here than I got time. So I can't really keep you interested for very long. And before long, we drift off. And sometimes, you know, Paul taught so long that people fell asleep from the rafters. I mean, I don't see anybody up there. Do y'all, you know, fall asleep? I don't feel it up down here. Now, if I was a real interesting preacher, maybe I would be more. But you know what? After a while, the interest fizzles. It fizzles. The Bible says that no man comes to God except the Spirit draw him. Except the Spirit get his interest. Unless the Spirit sparks an interest inside of you, that interest in God will fizzle. It will fizzle quick. Because many people are interested in church, are interested in God just to get out of trouble. And as soon as they get out of trouble, their interest in God goes away, just like their troubles do. But God is not interested in people that are not interested in Him. Somewhere in these notes, I've got this, so I'll just go ahead and say it. Two people that get married, they married because they're interested in each other. I don't know of anybody that ever got married who says, he was interested in me, but I wasn't interested in him. I will tell you, when I was in high school, all I wanted to do was fish and hunt. Pretty much the same way today, but I did grow up a little bit. But I loved to fish and hunt. I was not interested in girls at all. Zero. In fact, my dad come to me one time and said, son, are you interested in girls? And I said, Dad, I'm not interested in boys. If that'll help your feelings. But one day, when I was a senior, walking along, a guy said, stop. I said, okay, uh-oh. He said, you see that girl over there? I said, yeah. He said, she's interested in you. Boing, 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 boing. And then I was interested in her. But then her interest in me waned, so my interest in her waned. And then I met a lady named Geraldine Fontenot, believe it or not. She's here still. And I find her to be the most interesting person in the world. And I think she still finds me to be the most interesting person in the world. And that's what keeps us together, because we stay interested in each other. But if you're interested in one another, it begins to wane, then what happens in a marriage, the interest goes some other place. And all of a sudden, the interest dwindles even further here because that interest is over here. You see what I'm trying to teach you this morning? In living for God, your interest must be up there. He says, set your affections, your interest on things above and not on things below. Because if you're interested just in things below, you're going to stay here with your stuff when the church is raptured out. So I thank God that I'm still interested in my wife, and she's still interested in me. And I'm not interested in anybody else. You understand? Okay. And I'm interested in the things of God, and the older I get, the more interesting they become. And the longer I've lived for God, the more interesting this thing gets. That's the way it should be. We should grow in our interest and our anticipation of what we're going to inherit from Him. In this word, interesting has this internal word, interesting, right? It has this internal, it's got to be an internal thing and not an external thing. Many times people are attracted to each other. Oh, I'm interested in her. She's as dumb as a rock. But I'm interested in her. We'll try to live with her. That's different. So the interest has got to go beyond the looks and into the life of a person, so that what she's interested in, I'm interested in. And what's in her best interest is in my best. That's where I'm going this morning. And what's in my best interest is in her best interest, because I'm interested in her. She's interested in me. I'm interested in God. God's interested in me. I want to do what's right for God. God wants to do what's right for me. And I do things that carnally, it's not in my best interest. To come here and preach these sermons and do what I do for this church is not in my carnal best interest, but it's in my best interest because I'm doing what's in his best interest. Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you? Hallelujah. No matter how interesting we can make church, if the Spirit doesn't draw you, you will fizzle out and go to another interesting spot, another interesting spot, and keep looking for interest. When Sunday school attendance, it's nationwide, has dropped off. I think everybody knows that, is dropped off. And I remember when it first began to drop off several decades ago is when it first really started. And so our organization started these things called Centers of Interest. Do you remember that? Centers of Interest. This was before they ever diagnosed ADHD, TV, or whatever it is. Before they ever diagnosed any of that. They were trying to keep the interest of students long enough to get through an hour of Sunday school. Because used to, you could just sit there and teach, and at least they acted like they were listening and quoting verses and things like that. But they couldn't keep their interest. So what they did is they had like four or five teachers, whereas you used to only need one. Then they had four or five teachers, and you teach this with the sandbox, and you teach this over here with the clay, and you teach this over here with the tiddlywinks, and we're going to shift their interest so we can keep them interested. Where are they today? It does not work. Your interest has to be in this. It has to be in the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And when you're interested in this, if my words abide in you and you in me, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. This is what I'm interested in. And somehow we've got to install that, instill that in our children. Because too many times the reason they don't last in church, they're not interested. And then, well, y'all need to do more with this. You need to do more function with this. That's not it. We can do all the programs in the world. We can have all the youth groups in the world. We can go to Disney World and Six Flags. It's not it. That's not going to keep them in church. What's going to keep them in church is their interest. And you are the one that shares with them your interest in the Word of God. I love it when new people come. And sometimes I love it when old people go. One guy said, I made everybody happy at the church that I once pastored. He said, when I got voted in, he said, I made 100% of them happy. When I got there, 51% voted me in. And when I left, the other 49 were happy too. So I made 100% of them happy. But this is what I've learned. I like for new people to come. And again, people leave. That's up to them. But I have learned if I have five dogs and I feed them all the same thing and four of them is healthy and one of them is sick, it's not the food. If I got five dogs and I feed them all the same thing and one of them not healthy, it's not the food. But if I got five dogs and they're all sick, I need to say, what am I feeding them? And so it is. We can do all kinds of things to attract people, but nobody will stay interested except the Spirit draw them. Unless God draws them, I can't keep what I draw. Only the Spirit can keep what it draws. Hallelujah. Moses walked by this bush one day, and it was burning. He'd seen bushes burn before, but this was different. It was interesting. This is real interesting. He got to looking at this bush and said, it ought to be burnt up by now. It's still burning. It looks just like it's nothing going on. He says, the fire's in the bush and the leaves are still green and everything. What's the deal with this? It drew his attention to the bush. He said, I will now turn aside and see this wonder. Now watch. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, when he saw he was interested, he said, now I want to talk to you. I want you to go let my people go. God will solicit your interest through trouble, illnesses, to see if you are interested to go further. Or do we stop here? And once God had solicited Moses' interest, Then Moses, as you know, led the children of Israel out, all because he was interested in a burning bush. Hallelujah. Maybe the church needs to catch on fire, huh? I remember an old thought, a church was burning up one time on fire. They were all standing out watching the church burn. And there was a guy standing by the pastor. He'd never seen that guy before. He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, it's the first time I ever seen the church on fire. That's why I'm here." Maybe the church needs to get on fire, not because that's going to keep their interest, but because it solicits interest. It solicits interest. Now, if I was a miracle working man, now let's have a prophecy conference, okay? Let's have us a prophecy conference. You won't get a seat in here. You won't get a seat. Because it solicits interest. But unless you carry that interest further than that, it's going to fizzle out. The next prophecy conference, we'll see you again. Next singing we have, we'll get Gold City in here, and we're going to. Oh, yeah. But if that's all you come for is the singing, we'll see you next singing. Many times you get stuff in the mail, right? You get it in the mail, and let's just say it's about your home insurance. We have cheap home insurance. We have, and you go, "I don't need that." You throw it away, and you throw it away, you throw it away. And finally, one day, they raise the rate on your home insurance. They double it. And you go, "Oh, my God, I got to do something with this home insurance." And about that time, that same card that you have thrown away five times comes in the mail. And you go, "Wow, I need to call them." All of a sudden, your interest has been piqued because of something went wrong over here. And that's what happens. God does the same thing. He'll let something go right. "Why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to church? Why don't you give your life to Christ? Why don't you come? Why don't you get filled with the Holy Ghost?" "Well, you know, I've got..." And then let something go wrong. "What time does church start over there?" That's fine. All I want to do is solicit your interest. I'm looking for the lost sheep of Israel, is what Jesus said. This scripture is a very popular scripture. It is quoted very often in Romans 8 and 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Because normally when we pray, "Lord, I need a new vehicle. God, don't let the rent go up this month. Lord, have mercy. I can't take that health insurance is getting out." That's the way we're going to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We're going to consume it upon our own needs almost every time. But the Spirit, you don't pray like that. "But the Spirit itself maketh," good thing it makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It intercedes for me. And sometimes I'm telling you, I've been in a situation, you have too, or just go, "I don't even know how to pray about this." Then I let the Spirit do the praying. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit," or the will of the Spirit, "because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." Wow. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them which are the called according to his purpose." It's his purpose for our good. Do you see that in there? His purpose, our good. So when we work for his purpose, things happen for our good. Everything that God does is for your best interest. Did you know that? You go, "Well, Lord, I don't see how Joseph, that pit, had anything to do in his best interest." Look where he ended up. It's the pit that got him to the palace. And sometimes when you're going through things, it don't look like God's operated in your best interest. But I've read to you scriptures that he has an expected good end for you. Many times we put other people's interests, we think, ahead of our own interests. But the truth is, when in the kingdom of God, when I do, George, Brother George, when I do what's in your best interest, I have done what's in my best interest. It is in my best interest to do what's in your best interest. Now, some of you may not understand that, but that's how the Spirit works. I may not have time to prove all this morning. I'll read you just maybe one more verse, but I got to go. Philippians 2:1 said, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded." You know what that means? Have the same interest. Have the same interest. Having the same love, being one accord and one mind. We're all wanting the same results. Let nothing be done with strife. You know where strife engenders from? People that don't have the same interest. When interest clashes, strife starts. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. My best interest. You take care of yourself. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. My goodness, this is rough. It's hard to look at somebody and say, "You're better than me." Because in your heart, you feel better than them. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, let me just tell you how this should work. Just yesterday, I got a little piece of property at Hackberry, and I needed to wrap some pipes. I'd already been down there and wrapped it once, but then I didn't know this kind of cold weather was coming, so I got to thinking, I better go back and make sure that, you know, because it's going to freeze, it's going to pop, and I'll cut the water off, which I didn't do last time. So Brother Brian has a piece of property down there too, and I said, "Well, I'm going to bring some extra stuff in case he don't have his pipe wrapped. I'll wrap that pipe while I'm there." So I called, and sure enough, he didn't. Sure enough, he didn't. But what I didn't tell him when I called him, he said, "Oh, I don't know how I'll ever repay you." Repay me for what? Because little did he know, while he was wrapping my pipe, Brother Ken was at Toledo Bend wrapping a motor I've got up there I was afraid was going to freeze. He called me and said, "Brother, you need anything up at the lake?" I said, "Yes. Where are you at?" He said, "Well, I don't want you to go out of your way." He said, "Brother, I'd come up here just to do that. What do you want?" I said, "Well, I've wrapped that motor." I said, "But I'm afraid it's going to freeze the seals in it. Can you wrap me?" And he did. That's how it's supposed to work. In everything. I'm helping somebody else and he's helping me. When I do what's in his best interest, God makes sure what's done is in my best interest. Oh, Lord have mercy. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That mind of preferring others before yourself. That mind of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will and believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That kind of mind. I die that you might live. I'll give this up that you might have it. I'll lose my hope that you can have my hope. Oh, my Lord. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself," he made himself, "of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." He washed his disciples' feet. That was the top thing on his bucket list before he died on the cross. "And took upon him the form of a servant, and made himself in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." Now look, that's what Jesus did in the sight. Him being in the form of God and equal to God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but he decided to make himself of no reputation. God's got a reputation. Everybody, God, God around the world. But not Jesus around the world, but just God around the world. And so he said, I'm God in flesh, but I'm going to lower myself to man so that I can be between man and God. "Wherefore, because he made himself of no reputation," now watch closely, he didn't do what was in his best interest, but it was in his best interest. "But yet he did it in your best interest. And because he did that, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." Because he made himself of no reputation, God brought him up. and exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. If he would have tried to make himself a reputation, we'd say, Jesus who? Jesus who? I think I've heard of him. But now, because he made himself of no reputation, God gave him a reputation to save the world. Oh, my Lord. Such a reputation that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every tongue. To the glory of God the Father. Oh, praise the Lord. Could I have one more minute for you? Well, maybe 30. I better. Let me just say this. We'll never come together until we forgive together. A husband and wife will never come together until they forgive together. Because that's what coming together is forgiving together. Well, if you ever do that, no. Listen, because this is what we do. When something bad goes wrong, if you ever do that again, man, you didn't forgive them. Because let me tell you something. You know, I got 2 feet and I got a head, but every once in a while, I'll stumble. I have stumbled and bumped my head. Well, unless my feet apologize, I ain't going nowhere. You hear me? That foot messed me up and bruised my head. I ain't going nowhere. Well, you can sit there if you want to, head. It's your feet that's going to get you someplace. All right? So we waiting for somebody to apologize when the body don't apologize. How many of your feet apologize to your head? Your feet had never apologized yet. You just get up and go again. And that's the same way it should be in the body of Christ. Well, I ain't doing nothing with them unless they apologize. You're not part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ don't need an apology. They just forgive and go. Forgive and go. How many times should I forgive my brother? He said, as often as they ask. Now, there's sometimes I say, you stupid feet. But that's, my head's just saying that. He's just making fun. But we get up and go again. I'm going to do what's in your best interest. I'm going to do what's in your best interest. And when I do what's in your best interest, I have done what's in my best interest. Let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Take your quick break and we're going to be right back in about 10 minutes for morning worship.